This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The MK Party supporters are going to use this sentence again to look for sympathies that even the courts are against Zuma, because Zuma is bringing so much fundamental change for the black communities and so on and so forth, and play the victim card to the fullest.
That was political analyst Sandile Suwana, who said the latest court ruling against former South African President Jacob Zuma could actually play in his favor. Details coming up. Also, questions remain about the attempted coup in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And we wrap up the latest big news in sports. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. The chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court says he is seeking arrest warrants for Israeli and Hamas leaders, including Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Karim Kahan said today he thinks Netanyahu, his defense minister Yoav Gallant, and three Hamas leaders are responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity in the Gaza Strip and Israel. Charles Deladesma, with the Associated Press, has more.
The chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, Karim Khan, says he believes Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, his defense minister Yoav Gallant, and three Hamas leaders are responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity in the Gaza Strip and Israel.
Israel, like all states, has the right to defend its population. Those rights, however, do not absolve Israel of its obligations to comply with international humanitarian law. Intentionally causing death, starvation, injury, and suffering to the civilian population, including so very many women and children, are criminal means to achieve military and political goals. That's what we allege.
The prosecutor now needs to request the warrants from a pre-trial panel of three judges who take on average 2 months to consider the evidence and determine if proceedings can move forward. I'm Charles Deladesma.
Israel and Hamas today both angrily rejected the ICC's moves to arrest their leaders for war crimes made before an international court as heavy fighting raged on in the Gaza Strip. Israel slammed Khan's demands for warrants against Netanyahu and Gallant as a historical disgrace. The Palestinian militant group Hamas said it strongly condemns the move. In addition to Netanyahu and Gallant, Kahan said he is seeking warrants against Yahya Sinwar, leader of Hamas in Gaza, Ismail Haniya, the group's political leader, and Hamas military strategist Mohammed Deif. The charges against them include taking hostages, murder, rape, and torture, and Kahan said they are criminally responsible for the killing of about 1,200 Israelis when Hamas fighters attacked Israel communities on October the 7th. Democratic Republic of Congo authorities say they foiled an attempted coup Sunday. Human rights activist in Kinshasa, Carbone Beni, tells VOA's Carol Van Damme the suspected plotters included some American citizens who were allegedly led by Congolese naturalized American named Christian Malanga. But he adds that things are quiet in Kinshasa today. DRC authorities have told VOA's French to Africa service that Malanga was killed when his fighters clashed with government troops near the presidential palace in the capital, Kinshasa. Three other fighters with Malanga died.
Many people, something like 15 people with was armed, was in the palace of the president, and we know that some citizens, American citizens, was among them. Maybe four people, and the army and our security service attested that there are American people, because they find their passports with them that told that they are citizens, American citizens.
And we also heard that it was led by a certain Congolese naturalized American citizen named Christian Malanga. Do you know anything about that person?
Yeah, we know something. I know something about Christian Malanga. He's a Congolese, a naturalized American. He was in the opposition, and from 2015, he started his activism in the opposition against the former regime of Kabila. And then he starts to talk about the new regime of Tshisekedi on the YouTube, on the internet. We hear about him, but we didn't know, we didn't notice that he was very serious, and we didn't hope that he can reach, arrive till the, to try to make a coup d'etat. But he's a Congolese, like many Congolese people who live outside of Congo and try to do what he did.
Talk about this action and how it, you know, relates to the larger implications of it. What triggered it? Is it people are frustrated because of all the violence that's happening, ongoing in different parts of the country, or what is behind it?
What we know is that we know that some people are behind him in army, but till now they don't talk about the name of any general, any colonel, no one. But we know that he was hoping that some contact of him will come to help him and to make the situation larger and to try to take the power. And outside, we hear that he has some support. Now, we don't know which support exactly, because they are talking about Brazza, Congo Brazza, our neighbor. Some of the elements come from Brazza that was in the Congo River to go another side of the river. And we hear that some people in Congo Brazza was with him.
That was human rights activist Carbone Beni, who is also executive director of the NGO Iconia Institute. He was speaking with VOA's Carol Van Dam from Kinshasa and the DRC. South Africa's top court today barred former President Jacob Zuma from running in next week's general elections. Kate Bartlett reports on the reaction from Johannesburg.
He's often been dubbed the Teflon president for his ability to endure scandal after scandal. But on Monday, something finally stuck. The Constitutional Court ruled that due to a 2021 prison sentence, former President Jacob Zuma will not be allowed to run for parliament in pivotal South African elections on May 29th. The country's Electoral Commission had always maintained Zuma was disqualified from running because he had been sentenced to 15 months in jail for contempt of court in a corruption case. He served only 2 months before being released on medical parole. Zuma's Umkhonto we Sizwe, or MK Party, was defiant when addressing media and singing supporters outside the court after the ruling Monday.
We are disappointed about the judgment, but I'd like to emphasize this. President Zuma will be on the ballot paper when we're going to vote. So he's still the leader of the party. He's in charge of MK Party.
That was MK spokesman Sikle Ngobane. The Electoral Commission said in a statement that while Zuma's picture could still appear with other party members on the ballot, his name would be removed from the list of candidates nominated by the MK Party. Rather than directly electing a president, South Africans vote for members of parliament. Whichever party wins a majority then puts their leader forward as president. Another MK spokesperson told local media that despite the court decision, if the party came to power, whoever became president would essentially be a puppet because, quote, Zuma would still be the brains behind any president that will be deployed. Political analyst Sandile Swana told VOA in some ways the court decision could even play in Zuma's favor.
The MK Party supporters are going to use this sentence again to look for sympathies that even the courts are against Zuma, then play the victim card to the fullest.
Zuma, 82, was forced to resign near the end of his second term in 2018 amid numerous corruption scandals. Bitter at his former party, the African National Congress, ANC, Zuma threw his weight behind the newly formed MK in December 2023. The ANC was shocked by the move, and to add insult to injury, the MK party takes its name from the ANC's disbanded armed wing, established by South African icon Nelson Mandela during the fight against apartheid. Despite all the allegations against him, which include basically giving over state-owned enterprises and even some ministries to his businessmen friends, Zuma still has massive support in his home province of KwaZulu-Natal. While MK has not been polling very high countrywide, elections next week are being seen as a test for the ANC, which surveys suggest will win under 50% for the first time in 30 years and may have to enter a coalition. Kate Bartlett, VOA News, Johannesburg.
In more news from South Africa, a South African official says 11 fishermen who went missing when a trawler sank off the coast of the country on Friday are presumed dead. The Minister of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, Barbara Cressy, said yesterday that the families of the men had been informed the search had been called off. The French news agency AFP reports the vessel ran into difficulty and sent out a distress signal before sinking in the South Atlantic, 55 kilometers off the Cape of Good Hope. South Africa's lifeboat organization, the National Sea Rescue Institute, said 20 crew members had been on board the missing trawler. 9 survivors were found on a life raft. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. And for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. This week, Kenya's President William Ruto will be in Washington, D.C. for a 4-day state visit. A White House official says Ruto and President Joe Biden will discuss ways to strengthen the two countries' cooperation in several areas, including security, trade, and climate action. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, James Shimanyula has more.
President William Ruto's visit to the United States marks the 60th anniversary of U.S.-Kenya diplomatic relations, which began at the dawn of the East African nation's independence from British colonial rule. At a recent African Development Fund meeting, Ruto said one of his goals of the trip is to discuss ways to make the global financial system, including institutions such as the International Monetary Fund, more equitable.
The current international financial architecture is faulty, it is unfair, it is not right. It must be changed. It must be fixed. It is one of the conversations I'll be having with President Biden, because the U.S. has a lot of say on the current international financial architect. We want to have a conversation. Conversation is about Kenya, but it's in the context of us being Africans, and it's a context of Africa.
A recent report from the Economist Intelligence Unit in London says Kenya's economy is facing several challenges to growth, such as high public debt, an elevated cost of living, exchange rate pressures, global economic uncertainties, and tight global financial conditions. The report comes at a time when Ruto is grappling with several economic problems, including Kenya's debt of $71.8 billion. Macharia Munene is a professor of history and international relations at the United States International University in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. He thinks Ruto's talks with Biden could yield some results.
The U.S. might be persuaded to persuade the IMF and the World Bank to renegotiate and reschedule Kenya's debts in order to ease the burden on the citizens who are complaining. The U.S. might also endorse Kenya's climate change agenda, which would make President Ruto very happy.
Innocent Maganya is a lecturer specializing in security and sustainable peace at Tangaza University in Nairobi. He thinks Ruto and Biden will spend time on security issues.
I think 3 points would be on the agenda about the economy. It will be looking for investors to come to Kenya, how the U.S. can help the country on security. There is a military cooperation between Kenya and the U.S., the conflicts in the region, the Horn and Central Africa.
Mwaura Muigai, an independent Kenyan political and social analyst, expects the meeting to have benefits for the country.
I foresee the president coming back to the country with a bag of goodies, persuading potential investors that Kenya is a place to be. So I see opportunities coming to this country. I can call it a diplomatic coup for the country Kenya and its people.
Ruto's visit to the United States comes nearly 15 months after United States First Lady Jill Biden visited Kenya for 3 days. In addition, Biden has made expanding economic, cultural, and diplomatic ties with African countries a priority in his administration. For VOA News, I'm James Shimanyula in Nairobi, Kenya.
The U.S. presidential race is on, and each of the candidates is attempting to pull certain populations away from his competitor. The black voting bloc in the U.S. has historically voted Democrat, but as VOA's Caroline Prosutti shows us, the Biden campaign is getting worried.
Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
One of the many ads voters will see this month aimed at people of color, a $14 million media package in May. Then the announcement of more than $16 billion for historically black colleges and universities. Senior advisor Steve Benjamin Thursday says the administration's investment of more than $16 billion for historically black colleges and universities is
unprecedented, a record amount.
And on Friday, President Joe Biden at the Museum of African American History, celebrating the 70th anniversary of a landmark civil rights win for education.
My predecessor and his extreme MAGA friends are now going after diversity, equity, and inclusion all across America. They want a country for some, not for all.
Black voters helped Biden beat former President Donald Trump in 2020. They still support him. But recent polls show about 20% of younger black voters choosing Trump. Cafe owner Shauna Gray is one of them.
The Democratic Party has not only taken the black vote for granted, they have disrespected the black vote.
Trump has been courting black voters, often citing his legal troubles.
And then I got indicted a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And a lot of people said that that's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. The mugshot, we've all seen the mugshot. And you know who embraced it more than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible.
The former president has added former rivals to his campaign team, like U.S. Senator and former presidential candidate Tim Scott.
We have a chance not only to keep our money, not only to raise our kids.
The Trump campaign told VOA black and Hispanic voters, like all Americans, are worse off now than they were under President Trump. By a lot. And every poll reflects that reality. Dana Williams, the dean of Howard University's graduate school, doesn't agree.
I think that credible polls still have a polling problem when it comes to black voters. Knowing what questions to ask and where to go makes all of the difference in the world. You'll get a very different response if you go to a black college or university.
On Sunday, Biden continues his outreach, speaking to the all-male black graduates at the alma mater of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. But are this week's events enough to regain the black vote? The election is less than 6 months away. Carolyn Prosutti, VOA News.
In our sports segment, I talked with our VOA sports analyst, Mokbilia Baro, by phone just a while ago. I first asked him about the English Premier League that ended yesterday and who won the title.
Manchester City ends up winning the fourth consecutive English Premier League title. This is the first time that this has been done. Historically, there have been teams that have been able to win three times in a row, but no team has won four in a row. So this is something very new for the Premier League, for fans across Europe and all over the world. In the very last game, Manchester City played up against West Ham, a London team that Arsenal, the second place team, was hoping could potentially draw them. But unfortunately for Arsenal and fortunately for Manchester City was able to win 3-1 against West Ham. Arsenal won their very last game against Everton 2-1. but it doesn't really mean much because they end up with 89 points and Manchester City ends up with 91 points, two clear of them at the top. And they are the leaders and the four-time champions of the English Premier League.
And Mokbil, West Ham, I mean, they lost, but that Mohamed Kudus, that sensational overhead kick, I mean, it just, I still picture it in my head.
No, absolutely. Hey, to me, that is in conversation for one of the best goals in the English Premier League this season. Very phenomenal, young, talented player. With the performance that he did this year with West Ham, potential that he may get a look from even some bigger clubs, really. So maybe this summer we hear some traction about him going to maybe some of the bigger clubs in the English Premier League or maybe even elsewhere in Europe. But what a phenomenal goal. He had such small space, just kicked it, tipped it up to himself and yes. Just went up for the bicycle kick.
Amazing. And Mokbil, is there any more exciting football to look forward to for the fans now that the Premier thing is ended?
Absolutely. So I think there's the Champions League final that will be Borussia Dortmund versus Real Madrid coming up in the next few weeks. Also, the FA Cup final, which is another English cup that is very highly revered, has the two Manchester cities, Manchester teams involved, which is Manchester City and Manchester United, as well as the Euros. So the European countries will be playing in this soccer and football tournament coming up as well. So that will be something to look forward to as well.
Okay, now let's change gear and go to the NBA. The NBA playoffs have been intense.
Absolutely. Firstly, let's start off with the Indiana Pacers versus the New York Knicks. And Indiana was able to win 130-109. Now, the second game, Minnesota versus Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are the defending champions. They also have the reigning regular season MVP in Nikola Jokic. This young Minnesota team took them all the way to game seven and in Denver's home last night, came back from a 15-point deficit at half to win by 8 points, 98-90, led by Anthony Edwards, the young star for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and his supporting cast of Karl-Anthony Towns and the Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. So, interestingly enough, this Minnesota Timberwolves team will be going up against a Dallas Mavericks team for the Western Conference.
Sports analyst Mokbil Yabaru, thank you for your input.
Thank you, Hayes.
Hundreds of anti-migrant protesters marched through the streets of a Tunisian town where many migrants are living while waiting to travel by sea to Europe. The French news agency AFP reports that Tunisian protesters, opposed to migrants settling in their towns, chanted slogans Saturday to oppose settling migrants and demanded the government act. For many who dream of reaching Europe, Tunisia is a key transit point for migrants. The presence of thousands of migrants in tent encampments in Tunisia's olive groves has inflamed tensions in already struggling communities and reflects the compounding problems facing the North African country. And thousands of Moroccans demonstrated yesterday in Casablanca in support of the Palestinian people and against ties with Israel more than 7 months into the Gaza war. The demonstrators marched through the city center chanting, "Freedom for Palestine, if we don't speak out, who will?" and "No to normalization." Many wore kifia scarves or waved Palestinian flags. The North African Kingdom established diplomatic ties with Israel in late 2020 under the U.S. brokered Abraham Accords. We saw similar moves by the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest development on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Jonah Cummings, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.